And we're holding on page of Zion in Soita Ois Nuntes. The Mishnah to Piska, so quoting from the Mishnah, Yeshla Schos Vahola, we said that if the Soita has a Schos, it may suspend her punishment, and the Mishnah had given three possibilities. It might suspend it for 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. What kind of Schos we're talking about, we'll start talking about soon, but first, let's talk about this matter of how long that Schos will suspend her punishment. Meaning, in other words, that as the Gemara eventually explains what it means, and actually this was in today's Shloshah Parakim of Rambam as well, that it means, in other words, that given that she's guilty of Znus, then she's not going to be healthy afterwards like a woman who drinks the soda water and is innocent. So she will start feeling sickly, but you're not going to have the actual thigh and stomach swelling up and exploding like you have until the 1 or 2 or 3 years passes, as the case may be. So the Gemara says, Mani Masnissin, who is our Mishnah like? Loi Abba Yosi ben Chonon, v'loi Rabbi Loz ben Yitzchok Ishkar Dorim, v'loi Rabbi Shmal. Our Mishnah does not seem to be like any of those three Tanorim. Generally, we would assume that a Stam Mishnah, as much as possible, we want to assume is according to all Tanorim. But here we see that on the face of it, these three Tanorim disagree and say, and give other amounts of time for which Schos can help her. So, Detanya, as we learn in Braisa, Kama, or Im Yeshla Schos Toilala Toilala, how long can the Schos provide for suspend her punishment, or Im Yeshla, if she has Schos, then it suspends her punishment, how long would it be suspended? Shloisha Chadoshim, maximum of 3 months, today Hakoras Ober, which is enough time, if she were pregnant, for the baby, for the pregnancy to be noticeable. Shenema, because the pasuk says v'nixa v'nizra azara, the pasuk says if she's clean, then she'll have children. Now, in other words, in the simple sense, it means that if she's clean, if she's innocent of the charges against her, then she's going to then she'll have the schus that she'll have children. The Gemara talks about later on in the perek that there's machloikas whether it means if she hadn't been having children previously, whether she is going to be able to have children now. It's in the next perek, actually, whatever, or whether it's going to be shmol and Akiba have a machlokas about it, but in any case, the pasuk does promise something in connection with children of her. But now we're understanding differently. V'nixa, if she's cleansed temporarily through a schus, then v'nizra azara, then she will be, that will last enough time for her to be able to become pregnant and for the pregnancy to be noticeable. So therefore, that would be 3 months. Give her Abba Yossi ben Chanan. That's how Abba Yossi ben Chanan says that the maximum is 3 months. Marshall learns differently. Marshall says, you think about it, if she was Mizana, then after all, there's a possibility she might become pregnant. There's a high likelihood of it after all. And then after 3 months, we'd know that she was Mizana because we'd see that she's pregnant. We see with Tamar, for example, when 3 months have passed, then they inform Yehuda that Tamar is pregnant and he jumps to conclusions and thinks that it was Nus and so forth. So therefore, Marshall says, the vort is not so much that we're learning from the Pasuk, the Nix of an Israel Zara. And in fact, those words are in parenthesis because they're not in all Gersos. They're not in the printed Gemara. Rather, the limud is very simple. If she were to become pregnant from this Znus, it would take 3 months for it to be noticeable. Well, by the same token, then, Schus will help her for a maximum of 3 months. That's Divrei Abba Yossi ben Chanan. Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchok Ish Kfar Dorim Omer Tisha Chadashim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchok Ish Kfar Dorim says that the maximum can mean 9 months. Why nine? Ksivach of a nix of an Israel Zara, because here again you have the pasuk that she'll be cleansed, which again we're understanding means not cleansed completely as an innocent of the Aveira, but cleansed temporarily by Schus, then she'll have children. Another pasuk also refers to Zera and refers to children who will be able to serve Hashem, who will tell over Hashem's greatness, who will tell about Hashem to the future generations. So therefore, in other words, it has to be Zera Haroi was Saper, so it has to be enough time for her to be able to conceivably carry to term and give birth to a baby who will grow up to be able to speak of Hashem's greatness, meaning in other words 9 months, the regular length of a pregnancy. To be sure, I mean, you do have sometimes, the Gemara mentions all over the place, you have 7 months pregnancies, but basically we're talking about, though, a baby born after 7 months is not necessarily going to be so fully developed. Sometimes you even have, the Gemara talks about he might be underdeveloped and he's not going to live for very long, whereas 9 months is a given that he's going to be healthy. Anyway. So therefore, again, Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchok says from this very same pasuk, you can learn 9 months. Marshall points out, actually, you have a different Gemara in Sanhedrin that discusses the question, at what point is a baby able to come to Olam Haba if he passed away young, Rahman al-Islam. The Gemara gives a number of different explanations over there, and one of them is based on this pasuk, Zera Yavdeni Yisupar, is when the child is old enough to speak. And then after that, he passes away, then he'll have enough schus to be able to come to Olam Haba. So now, evidently, the Tana over here has to be disagreeing and saying that that Roy Lasapra means not that the baby is old enough to speak, which would be a few months, would be whatever it is, year old, however it is, whatever age babies start speaking, depends on the baby, versus here we're saying that the child will at least be born healthy and eventually grow to the point of being able to speak. Okay. So that's another opinion. Again, neither of those goes with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah had said 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. Then we have the third opinion in that braisa. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel says 12 months, which fine, that work that fits with the 1 year of our Mishnah. But on the other hand, Marsha says that the fact is that the pasuk Rabbi Shmuel is going to bring implies a maximum of 1 year. So therefore, so here, and yet the Mishnah had said a minimum is 1 year. So therefore, it doesn't seem to fit according to Rabbi Shmuel either. So Rabbi Shmuel lemi yud beis chodesh, the afal pishe in raya ladova, and Rabbi Shmuel says, even though I don't have a solid proof for it from a pasuk, zeicha ladova is still a remembrance, there's still a hint to the matter, shenemar, as we talked about when we started discussing this the other day, the Yerushalmi mentions in connection with Daniel, so here the Bavli brings that as well. You have the story where Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of a giant tree that gets chopped down and tied up with chains and so forth, and Daniel tells him it means that you're going to go crazy for a period of time, and you're going to run off and live like the animals and live with the animals and become an animal yourself, basically, until you realize that Hashem is boss. Then Daniel continues. He says, Lahain Milka, Lahain Malka, therefore, O king, Milki Yishbar Allah, let my advice be favorable to you. V'chatoyach b'tzidka furuk, redeem your Averis with tzedakah, by giving tzedakah, v'ava yosach b'meichan anoyin, and your deliberate sins you should cause to be forgiven through being kind to poor people. And in this way, there will be an extension of your peacefulness. So this way, this punishment won't come upon you so fast. Now, the Gemara elsewhere mentions, in Baba Basra, that Daniel should not have done that, because what's he doing? He's telling the Nebuchadnezzar a way to get out of the punishment that he's otherwise supposed to get in Hashemayim. So the Gemara mentions elsewhere in Baba Basra, different opinions of what happens to Daniel as a result of that. One opinion is that he was eventually demoted from his position. He's identified with Hasach from the Megillah, and we see just being sent back and forth as a messenger boy between Esther and Mordechai, implying that he had lost his high position. So that's one possibility. The Gemara says the other possibility is that he didn't actually lose his position, and rather it was the fact that he had to go through that whole ordeal being thrown into the lion's den. The Medrash actually says there was a reason why Daniel was doing that. He said this is after Golos Bavel already. This is after the Jewish people are in Golos in Bavel, and many of them were poor. Many of them had been poor even beforehand, and now they're still poor. Some of them had been rich back in Eretz Yisrael, and they lost all their wealth and the siege and the Golos and everything. So therefore he wants to have Nebuchadnezzar, who caused all that, should at least be giving them tzedakah and at least helping make things up to them. Nevertheless, the Gemara says he shouldn't have done that. Anyway, Uchtiv, the pasuk continues, Tolam Natan Nebuchadnezzar Malka, all of this befell King Nebuchadnezzar at Uchtiv, and the next pasuk continues, with Tzos Yarchan Treyasar, after 12 months had passed. What happened is, the pasuk goes on to describe, 12 months later, Nebuchadnezzar is walking on the roof of his palace, and he sees the whole Babel spread out in front of him, with all the buildings, all the fancy buildings and everything, and he starts priding himself on what a great thing I accomplished by having such a big empire, and then as a Bastol comes from Shemayim, and says, that's it, you obviously have forgotten that Hashem runs the world and not you, so it's time for your punishment to happen. The Medrash says, actually, that also while he's walking on the roof, he hears noises from down below. He asks his servants who are with him, what's this all about? They say these are people lining up to get their daily tzedakah that you've been giving them every day. And Nebuchadnezzar starts saying, why should I waste my money on people like that when I should better be using more of that money to beautify my capital city above them? So the point is, in other words, that after 12 months, this happened, so we see that Daniel's advice to give tzedakah saved him for a maximum of 12 months. So Rishmal says, in the same way, then, you can say that a schus can suspend a sotah's punishment for 12 months. Well, so the question is, again, that none of those three opinions seem to fit with our Mishnah, which said 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. So then my answer is lo olam Rabbi Shmuel hi. After all, you can say our Mishnah does go like Rabbi Shmuel. We do find psukim that mention that Hashem will also be patient and will wait a few times over. In other words, you have, by Nebuchadnezzar, we have 12 months, but we have other psukim that Hashem is willing to give them more of a break and wait two or three times over before he brings the punishment. So therefore you have the 12 months can be extended, 1 year can be extended to 2 years or to 3 years. Dichtiv. As the pasuk says, Koyamar Hashem, Al Shloish Tishrei Edom, Al Abba LaYashivenu. Hashem says, because of the three Averis of Edom, and, in other words, I was willing to give them a break when they did three Averis, Val Abba, but then they did the fourth LaYashivenu, I will not return to them, meaning I will not give them a break and not allow them to do Truva anymore. That's if they're going to be destroyed and goners. You have a bunch of Nevuos like that. Almost the beginning of a Sefer goes like that over and over. Koyamar Hashem, Al Shloish Tishrei of this nation, Val Abba LaYashivenu, and he lists what the four one was. Rashi explains that the first three are Redizar Gilad Ayas and Shvichos Damim, and then the fourth one is unique to each nation, and Hashem says, therefore I'm bringing punishment on them. So we see, in other words, that Hashem is willing to give them a break up to three times. So Rabbi Shmuel is 1 year, therefore can become as much as 3 years. Well, then in that case, that's a solid proof. Then why is Rabbi Shmuel saying that that's only a Zeichel to it? And the answer is, because the difference is, it may be different with the Goyish nations, where Hashem is not so quick to punish them for their Averis, because in Olam Hazeh, instead, Hashem mainly will punish them in Olam Haba, or sometimes the Gemara talks about Udi in the Masechta, that Hashem will wait until their complete measure of Averis is filled up, and then boom, they're gone. As opposed to us Jewish people, where Hashem will punish us little by little so that we never get destroyed. So therefore you could say that's why Hashem is willing to give Edom and the other nations that I mentioned over there three breaks until their saw is full, and then that's it, they can be destroyed altogether, as opposed to that wouldn't necessarily show by the Jewish people. If Yosef points out, and a couple of other Achronim on this Gemara point out as well, that Adal and others, that the fact is, the Psukim, after almost goes through a number of the Goyish nations over there, Edom and Sur and Damesek and so forth, after that he says the same thing about Al-Shloisha Val Abba, he says about Yehuda, and he says about Yisrael. The part about Yisrael, in fact, is the Haftarah of Parshas Vayeshev. So then we see Hashem does do that for Jewish people as well. So one of the answers, there's an answer in the Sefer Minchas Knor, it's a commentary on the Sefer Soita, who says that there's a difference between the Yochid and the Tzibur. When we say over here that Hashem is not so quick to punish the Goyim, that's talking about the Yechidim. And then, whereas these Psukim are talking about these Psukim, both the ones about the Goyim and the ones about the Jews are talking about the Tzibur, so there also Hashem is not so quick to punish them. As opposed to by a Yochid, not necessarily would Hashem wait three times over. So if Rabbi Shmuel is saying the maximum is 1 year, as we find by Nebuchadnezzar, not necessarily would he hold that, would there be a proof from his Psukim that Hashem will repeat that twice or three times over, and therefore give the person 2 or 3 years extension. As we talked about on Thursday, the Yerushalmi does bring, we actually do find Psukim, where we find where people got a 2 or 3 year extension, was by Amnon, he got a 2 year extension, because after the whole thing with Tamar, he spent time learning Torah, and similarly Achav, after he had Novus killed and got the whole Horash Nevuah from Eliyahu, then he spent the next 3 years learning Torah, and therefore that suspended his punishment for 3 years. So let's talk about what kind of schus has that effect. So the most piskus, a quoting from the Mishnah, v'yesh schus toil shalosh shanim, there's a certain kind of schus that can suspend a person's punishment for as much as 3 years. Well, the question is schus to mai. What kind of schus are we talking about that would help her for up to 3 years? Ilem is schus to Torah. Are you talking about the schus of learning Torah? Why should learning Torah? Now we mentioned in the Mishnah we had different opinions whether it's good for women to learn Torah or not. We'll learn about it further on later. We'll learn about it further on in the Gemara tomorrow or the next day, Be'ez Hashem. and then talk about what it means, Malamda Tiflus and all that that we were talking about. Be that as it may, the point is that if you're going to say that it can be a positive thing for women to learn Torah, the fact is she's not commanded from the Torah to learn. Women have to know the practicalities of what they need to know in terms of practical halacha. The Rebbe pointed out that after all they have to learn Chassidus as well, because they have the mitzvah of Ava and Yira just as men do. But all of it, in other words, that women don't have a mitzvah of learning Torah lishma, like learning, for example, the theoretical parts of Torah that are not going to be halacha l'maisa, whereas men do. So if she's learning Torah, she's not really commanded to learn Torah, so therefore how can that have such a powerful schus that it would save her from the effects of the sota for as much as 3 years? The el is schus to mitzvah. So you're going to say then we're talking about the schus of doing mitzvahs. The question is, me magna kula hai, since when, where do we see that mitzvahs have such a powerful protective effect that they will protect a person for such a long period of time? Namely, Vahatanya, we learn in a Braisa. So we're going to go through a long Braisa, but after that, we're going to see, and as we go through the Braisa, we're going to see the distinctions between Torah and mitzvahs in terms of what they accomplish for a person, in terms of what they accomplish as far as schus, and we're going to see that mitzvahs are much weaker than Torah. Based on what we learn in Tanya, there's the idea Torah itself is Chochmosa Ritzon Neshama Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzvahs are Torah is food for the neshama. Mitzvahs only and a levush for the neshama. Mitzvahs only a levush. Mitzvahs are vested in Inyanim Gashmiim Torah Lasso. Torah has to do with Mochin and mitzvahs with Midas and so on and so forth. And you have a variety of different points in which Torah is more important in some ways than mitzvahs. So, Vahatan, yes, do Darash of Menachem Rabbi Yossi. So, the Menachem Rabbi Yossi gave the following Darash. The Pasuk says, Ki ne mitzvah v'torah or. A mitzvah is a candle, Torah is light. Now, a candle is something, as we're going to see, that lasts only for a period of time. A candle is one particular instance of light, but it's not light, it's not light. The atzma, it's not the atzmos of light, as opposed to ur means the atzmos of light itself, far beyond any candles. So tola hakosu as a mitzvah b'ner as a torah b'ur. So the Menachem Rabbi Yossi says, so you see that the mitzvah is compared to a candle and the torah is compared to light. As a mitzvah b'ner, so why is mitzvah being compared to a candle? Loy malach, it comes to tell you, maner any megin or meir el lefishah. A candle only lasts for a certain amount of time and then eventually it goes out. So, af mitzvah in a megin and a lefishah. The same way a mitzvah can only protect the person temporarily. It's not going to protect the person for all that long. Certainly not on the face of it, not the 3 years that we're talking about in our Mishnah.
He's doing only what he's doing.
That's the Gemara we're going to talk about later, when he's doing it versus he's not doing it. Right now, we're saying that no matter what, whatever protection mitzvahs give is only, and what kind of protection are we talking about anyway? Are we talking about from doing Averis or are we talking about from Puranis? We're going to get to all that later on. But the point is, in other words, that at the very least, we're saying that mitzvahs are only help temporarily. There's a Torah b'ur, and then Torah is being compared to light, loy malach, which tells you, ma'ur megin u meyur la'olam, just like light protects and shines forever, light always exists, af Torah, megin u la'olam, the same way Torah protects forever, okay, forever meaning, in other words, for much longer. Even Yaakov points out, I mean, even La'olam doesn't literally mean forever. I mean, listen, you know, we have Talmid Chachamim, we find in various places in Shas, Talmid Chachamim who passed away young. Now, sometimes you have people who pass away young because their avodah in the world is finished. For example, there's a Yerushalmi that tells about one of the Amiroyim, Rabbi Yossi Birabun, passed away when he was 28 years old, and Rabbi Yochanan said a hesped on him that he accomplished in Torah learning in 28 years what most people would not be able to accomplish in 100 years. So fine, sometimes you have people who pass away young because their avodah is done, but more often than not, if a person is gonna go young, it means there's some kind of puranos, so fine, even then, la'olam doesn't necessarily mean literally forever, but the point is, in other words, it's much longer term than mitzvahs. So again, if we're talking about the only, so it would seem the only kind of schus that could help her for such a long time would be Torah, but we said she's not mitzvah in Torah. So how does that work? The Omer, then we have another pasuk that expresses this point. These halachot we have in Pirkei, this coming week's Pirkei Avos. These halachot tancha oisach, the Omer. Another pasuk in Mishlei says, when you walk, then the Torah will lead you. The whole pasuk goes, these halachot tancha oisach, the shach v'cha tishmer alacha. When you go to sleep, it will guard you. And when you wake up, it will help you speak. Or it'll speak on behalf, it'll speak on your behalf, rather. It'll speak of your mice and token. So, bishalacha tancha osach means ba'olam azeh. In this world, the Torah will lead you, like light that leads a person in the right direction. B'shach b'cha tishmer alacha zumisa. When it continues, b'shach b'cha, when you sleep, then it will protect over you. That means the sleep, the long-term sleep, when a person passes away. So then the Torah will guard you. V'akitzoysa, and when you wake up, hisisishecha, it will speak on your behalf. That means ba'olam abah or la'asid lavay. Marsha gives an explanation over here. In other words, that, first of all, what it means is like this. In Olam Azeh, Tancha Oisach, it can also be, now Tancha means it will lead you, but it can also be Meloshen Menucha. It will help you, give you rest. It will give you a rest and a break from Tzores. So Torah has that ability to save a person from Tzores. B'shach B'cha, when a person is lying in the caver, then it protects him from Chibur Takever and from Dina Shal Gehenim. And when he goes to Olam Abba, then it says, then it'll speak up for him, and he will speak up for his mitzvahs. So we see that Torah has that very powerful protective effect, much more so than mitzvahs do. So that being the case, then how is it possible that a woman is going to have such schus that it will help her for this long amount of time that we're talking about? On the face of it, it should not have the ability to help her for that long. Tosfos actually brings up a point. Well, the Tosfos brings up a point, but that's actually later on when we get to the whole matter of when we figure out what exactly Torah and mitzvahs protect us from. So we'll get back to that point later. But anyway, And the Braisa continues, you can compare it to a person who was walking on the road in the deep darkness and gloom. He has to be afraid of thorns, and we have barconim, and from thistles, and we have prosim, and from pits in the ground, from holes in the ground that he might fall into, and we have chayara, and he was also asked to be afraid of wild animals, and we have listim, and from robbers. So he's got a whole bunch of potential hazards that he has to deal with. And on top of that, the inyadeh, the ezaderach mahalach, on top of that, he may not know which direction he's going. He's lost. Now, if he gets a hold of a torch representing, so far it means, in other words, the person is walking through the darkness of this world and he doesn't have anything to protect him. Marsha points out, you have like this. We're going to go through several different things that a person is saved from by each new thing that he has with him. He starts out with he's in danger from, first of all, he has the thorns, which represent the difficulties in making parnasa. As we find, Hashem tells Adam after the chetei tadas, you're going to end up here, that the ground is going to grow thorns for you. So the koitzim and barkonim represent the difficulties of parnasa. The pachosim, the holes in the ground, represent dever, represent plagues and epidemics, where a person can die from that, Rahman al-Islam. So barkonim actually says differently. So koitzim is, again, is the difficulties of parnosa. Pachosim is the holes in the ground representing the fear of epidemics and diseases. Barkonim represents enemies that come with swords. So now you have those, and then in addition you have internal things, Yetzirah and Chovei Ra. Those are represented by the Chayei Ra and the listing. In a similar vein, some of the other Mephoshim also talk about that the Kotzim, the Barkonim, and the Pachosim are all things. He has to encounter them for them to be a problem. The Kotzim won't be a danger if he doesn't come near them. Same thing with the Pachosim. On the other hand, the Chayei Ra and the Listim, they can move and come towards him. So those represent two different types of ruchniistic dangers that a person faces. The ones where he has to encounter them for it to be a problem, and the ones where he doesn't have to encounter them. They're lying in wait for him. Anyway, so Nizam Nalei Avukah Shal Ur, if now he gets a hold of a lit torch, Nitzel min akotzim min abakonim min apchosim. So now that'll help him against the thorns and thistles and the holes in the ground, because now he can see where he's going. Still, he has reason to be afraid of the wild animals and the robbers. Those are not necessarily going to be scared away by a torch. And he still doesn't know which way to go. So this represents, in other words, that once the person, the torch then represents mitzvahs, like we said before, ner mitzvah. So therefore mitzvahs are compared to a torch or a temporary source of light. So it saves him from it helps him with the external things, the problems of parnasa and enemies and whatnot. But he still has the potential of his yetzahara and his bad friends. Continues the Braisa. Kivin sha'ola omad ha-shachar. Then when dawn breaks, nitzel mechaya roam in alistim. Now he's safe from the wild animals and from the robbers, because those tend to prowl around only at night. The Gemara in Bava Metzia actually makes that comparison explicit. You have the famous story over there of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon going in and then catching thieves, where it starts out. He speaks to a police detective and he tells him, you know, they're shoyim, like wild animals. They both prowl around at night. So how do you know that what you're catching? And then they're very sneaky. So how do you know if you're in charge of catching thieves? How do you know you're catching the right people? And the whole story develops from there. So now when Alois HaShachar comes, Nitzim and Chayrom, and Alistim, now he's safe from those. The Amud HaShachar in this metaphor then represents learning Torah. So now, in other words, the Schus of Torah helps him against the Yetzirah and the bad friends. In the case of the Yetzirah, Marshal refers to the Gemara in Sukkah and Kedushin that says that if that repulsive one, the Yetzirah, comes and encounters you, then schlep him to the Beis Medrash. So you schlep him to the Beis Medrash, and you learn Torah, and that helps against the Yetzirah. And similarly, it also helps you stay away from bad friends. The whole Sefer Mishlei, for example, is full of advice to stay away from such people. So therefore, so far, he's safe from all of those things, but he still doesn't know in which direction he's supposed to go, meaning what's going to happen with him after 120. Once he reaches a crossroads, and the Gemara later on explains, the crossroads means when he crosses over from this world to the next world, when he passes away, then he's safe from all of them. So in other words, at this point, So one thing is, I mean, on one level you have what Marashah says. It means the different ruchnis, the hazards that he's facing. Rashi says more simply also that it means, in other words, that there's things that help save him from doing averus, namely mitzvahs, and then there's Torah, which also helps save him from yisurim. But what happens though is Yetzirah still might get the better of him, and then he's going to be back and having the Yetzirah and the punishments. So now he gila parshas drachim. Now he knows the way to go, the same way. He comes to Yom HaMisa, and he stayed faithful to Torah his whole life, so now Nitzel Mikolam, now he's safe from all of them. So we see from that metaphor, in other words, that mitzvahs have only a very limited protective effect. They can save him from the thorns and the thistles and the holes in the ground, but they can't save him from the Chaya Ra, or from the Listim, let alone to tell him which way he's going. Whereas Torah at least can save him from the Chaya Ra and the Listim, from Yisurim and from his Yetzahara and from bad friends. This is all part of the question then. Why? What kind of schus is going to help his soita for as much as 3 years? Dover Acha, another way of looking at it, Aveda Machaba Mitzvah, Ve'in Aveda Machaba Torah. Another understanding of the greatness of learning Torah over mitzvahs, and Aveda can extinguish a mitzvah, meaning that the person did a mitzvah, and he deserves a schar from the Eibishter for it, but then he does an Aveda, and that extinguishes the schar that he should have gotten for that mitzvah. So here, if we're saying that a mitzvah can be compared to a candle or a torch, well, then an Aveda can go and snuff that out. They ain't Aveda Machaba Torah, but Avedas do not put out the schar that a person did for learning Torah. A person previously learned Torah, and then he started doing Avedas, then the schar for his Torah will still be safe. Marashah points out, so first of all, Marashah points out, you know, usually we compare the Torah to water, but here we're saying the fiery love of Torah, therefore we're using fire as a metaphor for it. And in fact, we see the Torah to begin with was white, it was black fire written on white fire. So we see, therefore, that Torah has the person's devotion to Torah can be compared to fire. Now, you do have, for example, this is, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, you do have to have that they're learning Torah Lishma. If a person is not learning Lishma in the first place, then the Torah doesn't have such a protective effect over him. You also have, the Gemara elsewhere mentions a concept called Torah al Rishonis. If a person did mitzvahs to learn Torah, and later on he regrets it and says, why did I waste my time with that? Then he loses that schar for all of that. But here we're talking about, well, you don't have any of that. He just did Averis. As the pasuk says, "Ma'im rabim lo yuchlo l'chabes es abba." Many waters cannot extinguish the love. So the love refers to the love of Torah. Rashi brings from Sukkim and Shir Hashirim that imply that to be on the base Hayoyin, Hashem brought me to the house of wine, v'digle olay ahava, and His banner of love is over me. And then the Yayin represents the soid of Torah. So now we're saying that many waters, all the waters of Averis, cannot extinguish that fiery love of Torah. So given all of that, then, how is it possible, again, the question all this time, the question has been, how is this woman over here having enough schus to save her from the effects of the sota for up to 3 years? So the answer is, Amar Rabbi Yosef, mitzvah, what it is like this. The difference is, mitzvah, the idna de'osik ba, when a person is involved in doing a mitzvah, and that's the lafi shah that we said before, magna umansla, it protects and it saves. Protects him from yisurim and saves him from the yetzahara, that the yetzahara shouldn't get the better of him. But in other words, as soon as he's finished doing the mitzvah, then those protections and salvations go away. When he's not occupied with the mitzvah, fine, the schus of the mitzvah is still residual over there. Aguni magna, it'll protect him from yisurin, atzuli loy matzla, but it won't save him from succumbing to the yetzahara. So far, that gives us our answer. Therefore, so this woman did mitzvahs, therefore she has a schar from that. And even when she's not doing the mitzvahs, then nevertheless it still has a protective effect, a magna effect for a certain period of time. As opposed to Torah, when learning Torah, whether it's at the time when he's actually being oisik in it or not, magna umatzla, both times it has that magna umatzla effect. It saves him from yisurim and it protects him from the yetzahara. So that would be the difference. In other words, here in our Mishnah, we're not looking for matzla. We're not looking for something that will save her from the clutches of the Yetzirah. She already did that. So we're only concerned about, we need to find something that will protect her from the effects of that. And then we're saying mitzvahs have that effect even after she's not doing them anymore. But it only lasts for a certain period of time, as the Mishnah had said, only up to 3 years. Now Tosfos brings up a question that a number of the Mefarshim then deal with. In that case, the Braisa, this long Braisa with the metaphor that we said over here, said that mitzvahs are like a candle, and a candle is only lefi shah, so mitzvah is also only lefi shah. So what do you mean? From the Yetzirah, we're saying it doesn't protect him at all. And from Megina, in other words, implies, not Matzla as in saves him from the Yetzirah, but Megina as in protects him from Yisurim. Well, according to what we're saying now over here, it doesn't have an effect of Magna, only Be'idna De'osikva, only when he's actually doing it. So that's not really like a candle. And from Peronus, it saves him long term. And Torah also, why are we comparing Torah to Ur, when we're saying that it protects forever? As far as Peronus, the mitzvah will also have the same effect. And from the Yetzirah, we're saying that it only is temporary. So as a Tosfos is bothered by why exactly was the Braisa before comparing a mitzvah to Ner and the Torah to Ur. So Maharsha Shah deals with it a little bit and says that what it means is, in other words, the mitzvahs will protect a person. When we say la'olam, means it will protect him, la'olam, in olam hazeh. Torah will protect him in olam haba, from dina shel gehenim. So therefore, so in that sense, then still, Torah has a stronger protective effect. Other Mephoshim deal with other angles on exactly what our various answers to Tosfos' answer to Tosfos' question. Ion Yaakov mentions over here that it means that so he says that 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 mitzvahs will protect. Yeah, exactly that. Mitzvahs protect only from puranas in this world, as opposed to Torah protects from the Yetzirah, and through that he saves Medina Shel Gehenim as well. Rabbi Yaakov Emdins also says a point of it might be that mitzvahs protect a person from doing averus, which thereby he won't be subject to Yisurim in the first place. So that's another way of looking at it. Okay. In any case, Rabbi Yosef is making the point, therefore, that Torah has a long-term protective effect on a person, and it also is matzla, it saves him from the Yetzirah. The problem with that is maski for Rava. So Rava says, "Elam ayat doig v'achi toifel milo osuva Torah." Didn't doig an achi toifel, the great Talmud Chachamim of David HaMelech's times, they learned Torah. Amaylo higina alayu. Based on that, why didn't it save them from the Yetzirah, and why didn't it save them from the punishment? So we see that Torah doesn't necessarily protect a person from that. And Marshall also adds the point. Another point is also Durig and Achitofel both died young. Fine, we could say that Torah protects only from Peronus and Yisurim, but not necessarily from death. Death is something of its own. But still, Rava is bothered by that. Why would Durig and Achitofel, with all their tremendous Torah learning, why would they not save from the Yetzirah and therefore from the and then becoming Rishoyim Gmurim and therefore being Chayev Misa? Ella Omar Rava, so rather Rava says here's how you have to say it. Torah the idna de osikbag magna masla. Torah has the effect of both magna to protect him from the Yisurim and to save him from the Yetzirah when he's learning it. The idna de osikba, when he's not occupied with Torah, aguni magna absolutely masla. When he's not learning Torah, it will protect him from Yisurim, but it won't save him from the Yetzirah. He's still subject to the Yetzirah when he's not learning. So therefore, that answers with doig and achitofel. They're not learning 24/7. So therefore, there are times when the Yetzirah is able to start getting them, and over time, that snowballed. Meanwhile, mitzvah, bein be'idna, the osikba, bein be'idna, the osikba, as far as mitzvahs, whether when he's occupied or not, aguni magla, it only protects him from punishment, atzuli le masla, it doesn't save him from the Yetzirah in the first place. So therefore, our Mishnah had said, then again, this woman has schus of mitzvahs, and it can help her for up to 3 years. That's why, because mitzvahs will help a person from Yisurim, even when he's not occupied with them. So she previously did mitzvahs, and now, therefore, she has as much as 3 years worth of credit that now will protect her from the effects of the sota for those 3 years. And then Rashi also adds, when we learned before in the Braisa, Aveda Machaba Mitzvah, that an Aveda can extinguish the effects of a mitzvah, doesn't mean the mitzvah will still protect him from the Yisurim. It just means he won't get a schar for that mitzvah, La'osid Lavai. Okay, so all of that is one way of answering the question on the Mishnah. What kind of schus does this woman have? She has a schus of mitzvahs, and based on what we're saying over here, schus of mitzvahs can help her for a period of time, even when she's not actually doing the mitzvahs. Ravina says, you know what, all this time we've been talking about mitzvahs that she does, but let's go back to the possibility of Torah. Lo olam schus to Torah. We can, after all, say that her schus is a schus of Torah. So you're saying, what do you mean? They're not mitzvah in learning Torah, and therefore why should the schus of learning Torah protect them? The reason is, it is true that they're not commanded to learn Torah. However, they do deserve a schar, the makri and benayhu, that they make their children, they have their children go to cheder to learn mikra, to learn tanakh, umasti and benayhu, and they cause their children to learn mishnah. They make sure that they go to cheder when they're of mishnah learning age as well. Yon Yaakov points out, by the way, the reason that we don't mention Talmud is because at the time a boy is learning Talmud, it's supposed to be, like they have in Pirkei Avos, then Chamesh Esrei the Gemara, by that time he's too old really to need his mother. But when he's 5 and 10 respectively, and for the age of Mikra and Mishnah, then his mother still helps him out with that. So she encourages him to go to school and sees to it that he does and so forth. V'natlam the Gavrayu ad Osmi Be'Rabbanon, and they wait up for them, they wait for their husbands when they come home from the yeshiva. So that can mean either where they're learning in a yeshiva in town and they stay up late for them. In other places, the Gemara goes into and speaks a lot about the Mila of women who do that, who stay up late for their husbands to come home from their learning in the Beis Medrash. Here, Rashi says, it's talking about even more so. Their husbands go out of town and they wait patiently for them and they don't nudge them to come home early. The greatest example of that, of course, being with Rachel, Rabbi Akiva's wife, in the 12 and the 24 years. Anyway, so in the spite of that, don't you think they get part of their husband's reward for the Torah that they learned? Because for the Torah that their husbands and their sons learned because they enabled it and they encouraged it. Of course they do. So therefore they do share in the schus of Torah, and that's the schus that the Mishnah could be talking about, where it protects them long term, even for as much as 3 years. This is why we have when a girl is born, you have in Sefer HaMinhagim and in the Siddur that we say that you got lo l'torah l'chuppah l'maisim tovim. And then the reason is that Rebbe Rashab explains based on our Gemara over here, which says that women do share in the spat of learning Torah. Later on, the Gemara is actually going to talk about, you have the example of the Yisachar Zvulun partnership. We'll learn about it tomorrow, Bez Hashem. So you get down to it. A husband and wife is an ultimate example of that, because the husband is enabled to learn Torah by his wife helping him and doing things and taking care of things around the house. And you even have examples where the husband learns full time and the wife works. V'chola v'chola. And you have many examples of that throughout Jewish history. Adayim Azeh. So all of those we're saying she shares tremendously in the schus of that. Not learning Torah. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, Chavzayin here. So there's a few things for the last few days talking about the Soda La'asid Lover, the Soda Sliv Yosin and Shur Abor and all that. The Rebbe talks about it's going to be a Gashmiyistik Soda, and it'll be in the period of Yemos HaMashiach, that's before Tchias HaMesim, because after Mitzvahs Petelus, you have the famous discussion about whether the Shechita of the Shur Abor is going to be kosher, but once we get to the point of Mitzvahs Petelus, Lasid Lavo, then that's irrelevant. And then, so the Rebbe talks about in yet another Sicha, that we have to, as the Rebbe famously said, open up our eyes and see the Metzios, in reality, that we are actually sitting with Hashem, Yisrael V'Kodesh Brichu Kol Echad, at the set table that's set for the wedding, with this Suda of the Lev Yosin, the Shur Abor, and the Yayin HaMashomer. And after that, as the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, then Hashem invites David Malka Mashiach to take the Kosher Bracha. After the Gemara goes through, then Hashem offers it to Avraham and to Yitzchak and to Yaakov and so forth, and all of them turn it down. And then David takes it, and Ani Avorech, I will say the Bracha, V'li Noi Lavorech, and it's appropriate for me to say the Bracha, as he says, Kosher Shoras Esau V'Shem Hashem Ekra. There's a mimer, by the way, in the Siddur Im Dach that talks about the idea behind that, that the cup that David's going to lift up represents Malchus, represents Elikos coming down to Malchus in our world, and David being the embodiment of Malchus, then he's the one to take that cup, and he's the one to say the Kosher Bracha on it. Okay. Continuing with halachas of Yom Tov, you're allowed to knead dough on Yom Tov. But you shouldn't measure the flour exactly, just estimate it. If you're not going to fill it up exactly, you're going to fill it up a little more or a little less than the measuring cup, then that's also mutter, because the point is you can't measure exact amounts on Yom Tov. Then you have, you're making, for example, noodles. Don't make them on Yom Tov, make them Erev Yom Tov. In fact, the old ones are better. If not, then you'd have to do it with some kind of shinui, such as doing it on a baking sheet rather than a cutting board as usual. And the same thing, other kinds of things that won't spoil, you should cook them Erev Yom Tov.